Call transportation meeting to order. Present today, it's 4:15 at 1:40. Present day are Senator Lincoln, Senator Olson, Co-Chair Cowdery, and Co-Chair Wagoner. We have one bill before us today. That's Senate Bill, CS for Senate Bill number 384/H. And Mary Jackson will present the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I'm staff to Senator Tom Wagoner from the Kenai. Senate Bill 384 is before you. As an opening, there are two mechanisms that have been discussed this session for funding a gas pipeline, Stranded Gas Act and ANGDA. There's a third method that's available, and that's what we're bringing forward to you right now, and that is through bonding through the Alaska Railroad Corporation. Last year, House Bill 267 was passed that authorized the Alaska Railroad Corporation to do bonds for a natural gas pipeline from the North Slope. The authority of it was a maximum of $17 billion, and it was very loosely constructed so that the corporation could issue them as a single issuance or in several issuances. And then there was no limitation as to the number of the issuances nor the timing. The Railroad Corporation was given that authority to negotiate with the producers, with one or more entities as they so saw fit, as they considered appropriate. Senator Wagoner, co-chair of this committee, spoke with the CEO of the Railroad Corporation about that authority and that possibility of constructing a gas line to the Cook Inlet Basin. And the result of that conversation is this bill that you see before you today. The bill amends the language that was approved last year to specifically reference the route to the Cook Inlet Basin. And Mr. Chairman and members, the purpose of specifying that route is to keep the focus on the need for natural gas to the Cook Inlet Basin. The Cook Inlet Basin serves the majority of the residents in the state of Alaska. They need that natural gas for their home consumption. The electrical utilities in the basin need the natural gas. The petrochemical industries that are in the basin need the natural gas. We cannot forget about the need for the natural gas in the Cook Inlet Basin. And we suggest that the funding source, the use of the Railroad Corporation, is an appropriate mechanism. The verbiage of the bill, Mr. Chairman, has been confusing, and so we have provided a CS that you referenced, and it may still need to be further revised.
Excuse me a minute.
Yeah, should I make a motion to adopt the committee substitute for
yes, that'd be
for conversation purposes?
Is there any objection to working up?
Senate Bill 384.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as I said, there may need to be some further revision. That's not abnormal as we go into things like this. Recognizing, again, the intent was not to say you spend the whole $17 billion on one pipeline route, but rather that one of the routes that should be in place at some point within the bonds that were approved by the Railroad Authority would be those to serve the Cook Inlet Basin. And finally, Mr. Chairman, there have been questions about whether or not a route to the Cook Inlet is even a consideration, is a reasonable consideration. And I think you have a map that you can certainly pass along to the members of the committee. And that map is from over 10 years ago, and it was a route that was done by Denali Pipeline. And it was a pipeline route from the North Pole to the Cook Inlet Basin for a gas line.
Product line. Yeah.
So that was a long time ago. The route is possible. It's there. And the other thing, Mr. Chairman, just to show the committee, I plop it right there. I don't want to hide it anymore. But there is also a map that was provided to us by the Railroad Corporation.
Are there any questions of Mr. Jackson? Senator Calvert.
Yeah, I noticed in the, and maybe that's what you're working on now, but in this committee substitute, the last lines last part of line 9 and 10, the new language, it says, except a portion of the pipeline must follow the Alaska Railroad right-of-way from the city of Fairbanks to the terminus in Cook Inlet. Does the railroad have a right-of-way that we're talking about here? I know they have one to Seward.
Through the chair, Senator, that was a question I had too, interestingly enough.
Think alike.
Yeah, we do. Well, the terminus is where the pipeline connects to the existing pipeline, not in...
The terminus is in the Mat Valley, where the it would be where the 20-inch line comes over from Beluga, and where those two would intersect with the railroad. Then you could tie in there, and then you could backfeed gas back into Cook Inlet,
maybe,
or on through the system.
We might need a little wordsmithing here to clarify.
Yeah, and we very well may be. That was mentioned just before the meeting started. Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary, can you, I mean, to me, that's just a map with lines on it. Tell me, it doesn't, or I'm not seeing on the bottom here, is that the same as what we, that's not the same map, is it, as what we've got here?
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, it's similar. In this one, I tried just because you can pick it up and carry it and look at it. The pipeline, this is the Alaska Railroad's rights of ways. This map, the smaller map that I'm referencing, shows you the what could be a joint pipeline from the North
right.
Slope down.
But using this large map, could you show me where that right of way then that you're speaking of for the railroad, the right of way for the railroad or the right of way and or for the pipeline?
I'm not sure what you're...
Currently, there is no pipeline right-of-way, but what there is through there is a railroad right-of-way, and there's also an intertie right-of-way for the power line that runs from the Mat Valley up into Healy.
Fairbanks is where? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Fairbanks.
That's Fairbanks way up at the top.
So you can see the black line is the railroad. And the right of way coming down. And at about here is the terminus to the Cook Inlet Basin. And that's the existing pipeline that goes to the Cook Inlet.
So we would, with a little bit of wordsmithing, we would, the truck line that's already existing, you're not thinking of. Of running a brand new line or just use that right away? You said something earlier about the existing pipeline.
The existing pipeline basically comes from, just hold it there, please. Comes from this direction from the Beluga gas field and comes up this way, and it would intersect over in here with that 20-inch line and then feed back. You can feed back through the Beluga area over into the North Kenai area, or you can feed around this way into the Anchorage Basin. And from Anchorage, there are two gas lines that NSTAR has that come down towards Sterling and over. So it makes a full loop is what it does after it intersects with that 20-inch line. But that's in the future. Basically, Mr. Chairman, or Co-Chairman, is what we're trying to do is to show this committee and the full legislature that it is in fact possible to run a spur line from the Fairbanks North Pole area down into Anchorage. It's very possible. It's been stated on the public record several times by one or two individuals that it's impossible. And if you look at this map real close, the power line does not go through the Healy Canyon where the railroad has all the trouble with the shale slide. It bypasses it. And therefore, that eliminates the problem of going through the national park because you can bypass the national park quite easily. It's already done. So it is a very feasible route. Miles, I think it's pretty close to the same number of miles if you brought a spur line. Let's say the natural gas line did run to the border and then into Canada.
it's about the same number of miles as it would be to run a spur line then from Delta down into Glen Allen and around, and probably would have less problem with the environmental impact statement and the permitting because right-of-ways have already been permitted for utility lines, and we have the railroad right-of-way to work with. So that's the reason for this. And in addition to that, one other thing before I stop. There's a gentleman by the name of Gary Hartley who lives in Salt Lake City, and he was a subcontractor with Tesoro Oil when Associated Pipeline Contractors designed this pipeline, which is a, and this is a full package of the design, and this pipeline was designed 10 years ago when Tesoro and Williams were into joint discussions of shipping product between the refinery in North Pole and the refinery in Nikiski because of the limited ability that Williams had at the time on processing a certain portion of the crude that ran through their plant. Tesoro had a more refined process, so they were going to bring that product down and then ship back other product that was refined in Kenai. So that didn't come about, but that just shows you that it is very possible to put a line into that corridor because they have already engineered it, pre-engineered it, and designed it here. So with that, any questions of Mrs. Jackson or myself? Senator Terrio.
Your language here, except a portion of the pipeline must follow, a portion of the pipeline must follow the railroad right-of-way. On your small map here, where you've got the gold color, I'm not sure.
That shows the current line as proposed through Anga into Valdez.
Okay.
And then the red line that goes to the west is the spur line into Cook Inlet Basin. So this is just showing all the different routes. The thing it doesn't have on it is the route to the border.
Okay. So any of these routes would be allowed?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, the black one and the yellow one and I guess the maroon one, if you will, are the ANGDA authorized. The red one is not authorized.
They're the currently ANGDA authorized for that to do the study.
Yeah, the only ANGDA authorized, yeah. Mr. Chairman, there are people, I believe now, online from the Railroad Corporation to talk about the right-of-way issues.
That was my question. Do we have anybody from the railroad?
Okay. Any other questions?
Do I need to untoggle them?
Senator Lincoln.
Do you want them untoggled?
Probably.
Yep. When you spoke of, and I was trying to find it on here, but the bridge, is that the spur, is that going to interfere at all with the proposed connect arm bridge?
That pipeline, there's a 20-inch pipeline, high-pressure line that's already in place that comes around.
Down south of the bridge.
Yeah.
Through that loop, okay.
It starts from the south on
go
the...
Go through it, Kernaghan arm.
No, there's another line. There's a line that comes from Beluga over. Yeah.
That one I was talking about.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't have a fiscal note in here, but I'm assuming that there is one that...
There isn't one available yet. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, I spoke with Steve Porter about it. He said, do you need one? I said, I don't think so, not yet, till we flush out a little bit more information. More importantly, this is an amendment to a measure that was passed last year that had a fiscal note from last year. And I have copies of the bill from last year and the fiscal note from last year.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lincoln.
So are you suggesting that fiscal note, that in that passed?
Yes.
That would be sufficient to cover what the additional spur?
Through the chair, I don't see why it wouldn't, because this is all-encompassing. The measure that was passed, and that is certainly something y'all could debate, but the measure that was passed was very much all-encompassing. Here's the fiscal note. The bill authorizes the issuance of up to $17 million in revenue bonds to pay for 70% of the construction based upon current estimates. They could issue blah, 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 blah. The railroad would bear no liability, have no responsibility for repayment. The bonds would be this, that, and the other. The fiscal note done by the Railroad Corporation, its first impact year was FY2006, $163,000 in costs, and then it was offset with revenues from that would be recouped through the sale of the bonds. I would not understand how there would be a fiscal note on a portion of a route that had already been approved.
Mr. Chairman, lastly, how would this interact with ANGDA, or would it?
Through the chair, it would not.
Well, say it would not, but it could eventually. You know, but that would be kind of a three-way party.
Chair, this is railroad bonds, and I don't know how that would be a future thing, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm meaning. In the future, ANGDA may get together with the railroad and work out some kind of a mutual agreement or whatever as far as construction. It's all this does is define that there is a route, and that's it. It's just another alternative to bring gas into Cook Inlet. I just want to stress a couple of things. Cook Inlet is where the only manufacturing site for natural gas product currently in the state of Alaska. We have two manufacturing units there, one at Agrium that produces ammonia and urea, and the other is ConocoPhillips, which produces LNG. And we're having problem with gas reserves in Cook Inlet right now and maintaining the level of production necessary to keep those plants operating. So that's one of the things we're looking at. And I shouldn't say that's not Conoco right now, but they do see a need somewhere out in the future in 2009, 2010 for additional gas supply. But they can talk to them better than I can.
Mr. Chairman, they're here too.
Yeah. And are there additional questions of either myself or Ray Jackson? Okay.
Thank you.
I think right now we'll have people who are here to testify. Michael Hurley, like to testify, please?
Testify.
And Michael's with ConocoPhillips.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Michael Hurley. I'm a senior commercial analyst with ConocoPhillips Alaska. And as many of you know, our company, in conjunction with BP and ExxonMobil, have been working on commercializing our North Slope gas resources via a pipeline from the North Slope down the highway route through Canada into the Lower 48. We wanted to talk briefly about Senate Bill 384 to encourage the committee to ensure that the potential that's out there for benefits from the railroad financing not be limited in any way as to where or how they get used. Whether it's our company and our partners or whether it's an independent gas pipeline company, there is potential for the railroad bonds to bring benefits to the project to help the economics of that project. And we would like to encourage the committee to make sure that there's flexibility in how those bonds can be used. We didn't have a chance to see the CS here until we came to the hearing today, so we can't comment specifically on the verbiage, but certainly the more flexible it is in terms of how those railroad bonds can be used, we think the better that is for the project and for the opportunity to commercialize that stranded gas. With that, be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Olson.
So at this point, it's my understanding that there is no opposition from you or who you're representing related to the bill?
No opposition, sir, no, through the chair. We do want to maintain the flexibility, and we think it's appropriate for the state to maintain flexibility to be able to use those railroad bonds in whatever way works to most effectively commercialize the gas.
Senator Cowdery?
If and when this project went forward, I asked the chairman maybe, or co-chairman here, and railroad bonds were decided that's what we're going to do, I think they would still have to come back and get approval by the legislature. Am I correct in thinking? Even if this was passed?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, I'm not
have a
sure
railroad
if they
person
do or
here.
Not. I might ask the railroad that question.
But I thought that it would seem to me that we still have an oversight, even though the railroad is an independent agency that never comes and asks any favors from us or anything, but we still overlook that, except when they need favors. Anyway.
Through the chair, Senator, I'm not sure that it does. I think the legislation from a year or two ago may have provided them that ability.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe have them answer.
Maybe Wendy could come up and give us her slant on that.
Okay. For the record, my name is Wendy Linscoog, Director of External Affairs for the Railroad, and I do believe the authorization was put in place last year with the bill. And this would just amend that authorization to include a potential portion of a pipeline to approve down the railroad corridor.
Okay.
That was why I brought up the question to start with on the committee substitute, that maybe this we should wordsmith this and broaden this language to so we don't have any problem.
Yeah,
I think this is a little tight language.
We're going to hold the bill over here anyway, so yeah, we can do that. Senator Lincoln, you had a question.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hurley, when you were asked, do you have any objection? I mean, you gave your opening statement was that you wanted to ensure that there was flexibility. And then when you were asked, do you have any objection to the bill, you said no, that you did not. But the bill, as amended, does not allow flexibility. It says that a portion must follow. And so it really tightens it up for a segment of it. So I will ask you then in a different way, reading that CS, does Conoco have any reservations about the legislation as presented?
Through the chair, Senator Lincoln, our intent is to make it flexible. We realized just looking at the CS a few minutes ago that it still says must. And that causes us a little bit of concern, but I think if it's going to be reworded to be more flexible, that's, I think, what would be better and more in the state's interest than in ours.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't know if Wendy was going to be the representative for the railroad or if somebody else is online that's...
We have three other people on...
Okay.
Two other people online to testify.
For the railroad?
I believe there's...
You have Bill O'Leary and Tom Brooks from the railroad online.
Okay, I don't have their...
Questions.
I don't have a...
They're just available for questioning.
Oh, okay. So they have two representatives.
Yeah. I will ask the railroad, whoever, if you want to do it now or after the testimony.
Let's wait until the testimony is over, then we'll have questions. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Next is Bill Popp from the Kenai Peninsula Borough.
Turbines. It's a significant issue for the Cook Inlet Basin. Inland Basin. As Senator Wagner referenced earlier, a substantial portion of the state's value-added industry for the petrochemical industry is based here in the Kenai Peninsula Borough, in the Nikiski Industrial Site. That site represents 65% of the employment of the state's petrochemical workers. And two of the major employers, ConocoPhillips and the Agri Nitrogen Plant, rely specifically on plentiful supplies of reasonably priced gas to maintain their operations. Our vision is not only to maintain those operations, but to also help to expand operations within the Cook Inlet Basin, not necessarily specifically within the Kenai Peninsula Borough, but throughout the basin, to take advantage at monetizing and getting value-added products generated from North Slope gas that could be brought to the Cook Inlet Basin to take advantage of the transportation hubs that are located here through the railroads, the port, the airport, etc. But also the long-term economic health of the basin is hinged on natural gas. And we urge the committee to take a long, hard look at this bill, to perhaps find a way to wordsmith it to the satisfaction of the committee, and to help support the passage of this bill to again assure the energy future of the Cook Inlet Basin. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Popp. Any questions, Mr. Popp?
If you, Senator
Cowdery?
Yeah, if you had any, do you have a copy of the committee substitute?
Yes, sir, I do.
If you would probably be appreciated if you could work with staff and try to do the wordsmithing that we talked about earlier, that would probably be beneficial.
Be my privilege to, sir. I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Any questions? Thanks, Mr. Popp.
Thank you, Senator.
Next person to testify is Robert Valdata.
Thank you, Senator. It's Bob Valdata out of Seward. I'm on a shooting yesterday with Mr. Popp and delegation from Seward, showing me support Mr. Popp's idea of the Kenai Peninsula being serviced on natural gas. As you know, Seward 10 or 15 years ago had applied for the permits, and then NSTAR was going to build us a natural gas line from, I'm going to say, the Moose Range, Cooper Lang to Seward, and never materialized. We're still in favor of that, but we also have a good harmony with the railroad, so we could bring the natural gas down line, down through the railroad, or I'm sure we could start applying for permits in the future, so we hope the natural gas line comes either way, down to Kenai, but enough gas is there to support Seward in future endeavors. Also, we got the I-3 terminus for future export within state, export forward or to California or lower 48. I appreciate your support on that. And we will work with Mr. Fox at the same time so there's not too much traffic on the landline. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your testimony. Are there any questions? There and see none. We'll close this portion of the hearing. Let me ask if there's anyone else online that we haven't received notice that wants to testify. Is Tom Brooks on the line?
This is Tom Brooks.
Yeah, would you like to give a description of this for the railroad?
Yeah, I've been asked. My name is Tom Brooks. I'm the chief engineer with the Alaska Railroad. I've been asked to give a brief overview of the railroad's right-of-way from Fairbanks to Anchorage or the Cook Inlet Basin. Basically, the railroad has a 200-foot wide right-of-way from Fairbanks to the Cook Inlet Basin. It's continuous, and generally, we have an exclusive use of that right-of-way. There is one exception to that, that's in the Denali Park area. And that our right-of-way in Denali Park is restricted to the traditional uses that right-of-way has been employed for, i.e. railroads and communication lines for the most part. Those were the uses under federal ownership. Unless the Park Service agrees to some other use. So generally our title for our right-of-way is in good shape for a gas pipeline with the exception of the Park Service. We do have one other area in Healy Canyon that we've identified where we've got slide areas and I think shales were mentioned earlier. And that area is programmed as a priority. priority for us for reconstruction, and that area would probably be something we have to work closely with the pipeline project on. But beyond that, the right-of-way and the railway engineering standards are compatible with pipelines.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Brooks. Just so you're aware, when I talked to Pat Gamble, I talked to him just before we were going back to Energy Council in Washington, D.C., and I mentioned to the congressional delegation there that after this bill was introduced and after we had fleshed it out a little bit more, we would provide them with a package showing where the gas line would supposedly bypass the park and the Healy Canyon, and they said they'd be very interested in taking a look at that. So if this thing works out right, both parties could be a benefit of that, too. Okay. Any questions of Mr. Brooks? Senator Lincoln.
Mr. Brooks, with the committee substitute that I think you heard read, following the Alaska Railroad right-of-way from the city of Fairbanks to the Cook Inlet Basin, to the terminus at the Cook Inlet Basin, then your testimony is that the railroad has no objection to utilizing that right-of-way in the manner as stated in the bill?
We would not object to that. That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Brooks, the other, I got another question. I haven't pursued this too much. You might be able to answer it. There's a 20-inch gas line that comes out of the Beluga field, the high-pressure line that comes around into Anchorage. Do you know if that intersects with the railroad right-of-way at any place?
Not offhand. We do have high-pressure gas lines in the right-of-way, but I don't know if that particular gas line is intersects our right-of-way or not. I believe it comes pretty close if it doesn't intersect.
Yeah, I can check that out with NSTAR, and they'll give us that. Okay, thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Brooks? Thank you, Mr. Brooks. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. Chair's just been informed that Harold Hines from ANGA is on the line if you have any questions of Harold. Senator Lincoln.
Mr. Hines, are you there?
Overflowed.
What's the testimony that got you out of the LIO there?
We're not sure, but there's quite a few people in there.
Oh, okay. Senator Lincoln had a question for you.
Well, I'm glad I'm not on that committee that has the overflow then. Mr. Hines, you more than likely have a copy of the CS there. If you don't, you heard the CS on it. Is there any concern on your part for where ANGDA is going and the any overlapping that may occur with this or any funding that would bring this in question as far as ANGDA is concerned?
About half the population of the state of Alaska, and I've estimated that it probably is in the range of $100 million of disposable income a year at stake here from just that one sector of the economy. So I am very supportive of us doing anything we can to try to emphasize the importance of getting gas to Cook Inlet, getting it to tidewater so it can be here is a unique capability that flowed out of the actual act of Congress that transferred the railroad. And as such, the bonding there enjoys the unique status of probably any bonding in the country, in that it was authorized through an act of Congress. None of the rest of us have that ability. We have to sort of take our chances with the IRS and sort of work under whatever the general tax rules are. The reason everybody is so focused on interested in the Alaska Railroad bonding is that it has that very unique federal status. So we, I guess all of us kind of feel it needs to be handled very carefully. And thirdly, I will just tell you, as somebody who in the private sector was responsible for some very major pipelines, which in some cases were near railroads or even in railroad right-of-ways, when you start to make the decision to actually lay a long length of pipeline on the railroad right-of-way, there are safety considerations that reflect on both the railroad and the pipeline. And certainly, again, I would hope the language in here would allow the alignment of the things to be in parallel, but not necessarily in the right-of-way, which is, at times maybe a very narrow juncture. There are safety reasons for that. There have been issues in the past that I know of where railroad trains and pipelines have interacted, and generally everybody loses when that happens.
Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Harold. Senator Lincoln.
And I wished I had thought of that, Mr. Hines, that when Mr. Brooks was testifying, there's a 200-foot right-of-way, and I'm trying to visualize, in looking at the maps that was presented by...
That's the... It's over there. She's talking about the Denali pipeline.
Oh, the Denali project. Pipeline project. In looking at this and where the pipe... I mean, excuse me, the railroad is, it, the proposed or the optional route and the proposed pipeline route, it seems like it varies on each page, and I can't judge the distance if it goes off of that 200-foot right-of-way. And the language in here is very specific that it must follow that right-of-way through that whole area from Fairbanks to Cook Inlet. So that's, I'm sure, Mr. Chairman, that's the part that you're going to be looking at as to where it doesn't intersect.
We'll be addressing that. And Harold, for your information, we will find someplace to get this preliminary engineering study duplicated in color and send it to you for your files if you don't have it. And the same way with a map we received.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I think there is a copy available here at the Joint Pipeline Office, which is actually where I sort of hang my hat in terms of an office. And very frankly, the Joint Pipeline Office would be a good group to frankly draw into the discussion when you get to issues like this of exact alignment. And I was just trying to caution for flexible wording in the thing. I wasn't trying to be an expert on the alignment.
Right.
I know there are issues, and I know the people here, the experts in pipeline safety and transportation, I'd sure want them to take a look at it. I know they are aware of that report from 10 years ago.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Hines?
I'd like to go back to Mr. Brooks if he's still online.
Thank you, Harold. I appreciate your taking time, and we'll be contacting Mr. Porter that's there, talking to him about fiscal notes probably next week. Is Mr. Brooks still on the line?
Yeah, this is Mr. Brooks.
Okay. Senator Cowdery has a question he'd like to ask you.
Following up on Senator Lincoln's question of the 200-foot, I'm under the impression the railroad has right-of-ways greater than 200 foot.
Generally, a right-of-way is 200 feet.
That's a general term, but there's some areas it's wider. Am I correct?
In some areas, we have reserves that
Okay, I just wanted that clarified.
And I got another question, Mr. Brooks. This is Senator Wagoner. Within that 200 feet, you're not always in the center of the right-of-way with your tracks either, are you?
Generally, we are, but there are a few places where we've realigned or done other things that put us slightly askew from the exact center.
Okay. Thank you. I think those are too technical for our discussion anyway, because we aren't there yet. Any other questions, Mr. Brooks? Well, I'm going to hold this because we do have to do some work on it, but I want to thank everybody for coming and thank those of you who are online for testifying. It's been very valuable. It gives us a little more direction of where to go. And we'll probably bring this up in a week or so one more time. So with that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.